this year is sponsored Lilo Nishmas Menachem Menem Ben Yoel Esther Leah Bas Chaim Zehev Shetiyah. And also you notice that there's a Karnas Hayom the Beis Medrash was sponsored today, tomorrow Wednesday, as a schus for Refuah Shleimah for Devora Meira Bas Miriam and she should have Refuah Shleimah Bekaro. Okay, so we'll start with this case that the Meshav Vahalacha, this is from the Mansi Bezin Haroya, has. And then we'll talk about, we'll say the more common case, but he talks about an unusual case where Reuven came to Shimon to sell him a diamond. The diamond was uncut, and that's Shimon bought uncut diamonds and he would resell them. Reuven said the price, I'll say $100 for this uncut diamond, which was a reasonable price for such diamonds. But Reuven, right, Shimon's the one that's buying it. Reuven gave this price. Shimon, who's the buyer, who's an expert, realizes that if he cuts it a certain way, the diamond will be worth much more than Reuven even realizes, because Shimon is an expert and he knows how to cut them in certain ways that can maximize the value, and it could be worth $5,000. So the question faced by the Bessin was, is Reuven obligated to tell, is Shimon the buyer obligated to tell Reuven, the seller, you're underpricing your diamond? You think it's only worth $100, but if you cut it this way, I can make it worth $5,000. Is he obligated, as this is what we're talking about, as Hashem is Aveda, right? He's like, he's going to sell it for $100 when it's really worth $5,000. Is there any feel of Hashem is Aveda for Shimon to tell Reuven about his mistake?
Why is it Hashem is Aveda?
Okay, why is it not Hashem is Aveda?
It's a toes on the part of
Reuven. So you would say Mechach toes.
Well, Mechach toes.
Yeah, so we get to Mechach toes, there are rules. But for Mechach toes, it would have to be, and that could be a good point, right? If everyone sells this diamond, such a diamond, for $4,000, because everyone knows that such a diamond, it could be cut a certain way, and then it'll make it be worth that amount, so then it's a Mechach toes, and certainly you have to tell me, you're not allowed to cheat it. That's Ona, like we learned about the Mechach Mentai. But we're talking in a case where this could commonly be sold as $100. You go to, I don't know about diamonds so much, but you go to yard sales and they sell stamps, or they sell different thing, coins that, you know, they sell them. This is the price that you, they know that there might be something valuable if you find it, so then you keep it. It's not that, you know, they're not like a coin salesman who's made a mistake that you have to tell them about the mistake. This is commonly sold as a $100 item. You happen to be an expert, and you have a way of making it worth more for this.
Other people may not have that skill.
Other people might not have that skill, and this is commonly sold as $100 in normal stores. You are an expert, so you, and it came to you. You have an obligation to maximize this person's value. So just to see the difference over here, Hashavas Aveda that we spoke about, the first 33 shiurim, was talking where someone lost something, and you're, he lost it, he doesn't have it anymore, and you're giving it back to him. Over here, he has the object, he's not losing anything. What he's losing is money, right? He's not going to lose his car. He might just end up, his battery might die, right? Or his electricity bill will be higher, so he's going to pay another $10 because he forgot to turn off his air conditioner.
It's like right. Saying that there's, you know,
so that's the question, is there Hashavas,
and his grain is rotting, but he's not losing the grain, it's just going bad.
Right. So is there, if you see that this grain is rotting, you know, you walk by and you smell it, and are you obligated to tell him, hey, I know, I smell your grain is rotting, maybe you want to do something about it, right? That's, is there Hashavas Aveda? And the answer is yes. How do we know? It comes from the Gemara Bava Masilah Amid Aleph Amid Aleph. Omar Rava said, the Pasuk says, Yerchai, last week's parsha, Yerchai returned, L'chol Aveda Safiha, any Aveda of your brother. What's any Aveda include? The Rabbah's Aveda's Karka, that includes even if he's losing, even if his land is getting ruined. if you see that a person's land is getting ruined, there's things coming in that are taking away the value of his property, of his land, you have an obligation as Hashavas Aveda to prevent that from happening. But he's not going to, when he's losing his land, it doesn't mean that someone's going to carry it away. It's always going to be there. It's real estate, it's real estate. But it's going to lose its value. You are obligated to protect him from losing the value of his field. Right, that's a clear halacha from a pasuk. So Amay, we'll just learn the sugya. Amalei Rav Hanani l'Rava. Rav Hanani said to Rava, Tani de Masayel, I have a braisa that apparently supports you. If someone sees water, there's a flood, it starts raining and there's a flood, sudden storm and floods coming to go into someone's field and it's going to wash away the soil, you're obligated to put a fence in front of the waters to protect the field from getting ruined. So that's what the braisa says. So Rav Hananya used this as a proof, a support of Rava, that the halacha of Hashavas Aveda includes, karka includes, real estate. Amar Lei, Rava said back, Yimashum ha, if you want to bring a ride from there, Lot to say, yes, not a good support. Because we could be talking here, what's happening? The water's coming in, ready to flood the field. But it's not the ground that we're worried about here. We're talking a case over here where there are bundles of wheat on the field, and the water is going to wash away the bundles of wheat. So it's not a case of karka getting ruined, it's a case of metatzin, like a typical case of Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara asks back on that, if there are piles of wheat there, my lemeir, what's the chiddush of the braisa? You know, it's no difference between returning a lost object and returning and stopping these wheat bundles from getting ruined. So the Gemara says, they still need to be attached to the ground a little bit longer. You might think, even if tzvichil ara, since they're attached to the land, kigufa da'aradam, and they're like the land itself, the mashmalah, and that's why the braisa has to tell us that they're treated as movable objects and therefore there's no support to Rava. So even though Rava doesn't have a support, he deflected that proof, he refuted the support of the braisa that should happen by giving another pshat. Nevertheless, the poskim do pass him like Rava. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shavas Aveda Reish Nun Tes Siv Tes says that Aveda's karka to protect someone's property from getting lost is also included in the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. And he brings the case that if you see water coming that's going to wash away the person's soil, ruin his field, you have a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh, not to, if you don't, to protect the field from getting ruined.
Hey, my roof is leaking in my house and it's going to ruin the upper floors, and
right, we're going to have to see how far this goes. Right. That's a good question, right? So that what that means, that seems to mean that you see someone on this roof there, so you or it's not going, everyone should go over and fix everyone's property from getting ruined.
But if he knows it's leaking, it asks us if it's an Aveda Medas.
Okay, good.
Now I let you know.
Okay, now the Aruch HaShulchan takes us one step further, which I think is the Darur Pashit. He says, we'll just read it together to hear the Lashon. V'chein b'chol im yonei hefzit. Any loss that could occur to a person, sh'yochli yisrach aveir, that could happen to a person, will be yichol to lemnoa ha'ezek, and we are able to prevent that damage from occurring to that person's property, chayiv lemnoa, we are obligated to prevent it. V'imlo asokein, if we did not prevent that damage, over ba'asei da'ashiv tishivein, we have violated the positive mitzvah of return his article, and the losasa, the negative commandment, not to hide ourselves from a first, from not to withhold ourselves from returning a person's lost property. Now, this the later post can say this applies to movable objects also, not just land, but if you see anyone's property, you see someone's bicycle is about to get stolen, someone's property is about to get stolen, you have a mitzvah Shavas Aveda to prevent from getting stolen if you can. Right, we'll talk more about that next week. But there's not only by lands, by anything, and the truth is that we saw from the case, from the braisa, when the Gemara said there's no proof from the braisa, because it could be a talking where you have sheaves of bundles of grain on the land, and that's what the word is washing away. So there the Gemara says, that's why you have a mitzvah saseh, Hashavas Aveda, Rava said. Right, so we see clearly that there is certainly a mitzvah saseh to protect someone's movable property from getting destroyed, getting lower in value. The chiddush of Rava was that that even applies to the chol avedus avicha, applies even to real estate. Now, just like when we're talking about real estate, the real estate is not going to be, you know, he lost his land, you know, you find a piece of land somewhere and give it back to him. It's talking that his land, you know where it is, it's just going down in value, you're protecting a loss in value. So, and there we see also that regarding movable objects, there is a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh to protect a person from financial loss. And because of this, we have this contemporary poskim saying that if you see someone's headlights on, there's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh to turn them off. They say if you see him on his house, you have to really use your common sense. Right? You see, two in the morning, you see someone's light is on in his basement. You know, I don't know. So you know, you're losing money. Call him up and tell him your light is on. You know, you have to use common sense. Right. You have to use common sense. You saw, you don't bring it. Maybe here you can because you have the combination. You know, you could just come down and break in and turn off the light. You'll make his burglar alarm go on. You have to use your common sense, but certainly. You know, if you're going into the shul and you see someone's headlights off or on in the in a parking lot, and it's not the type of car that, you know, automatically stays on for a few minutes. You know, a lot of times you talk to people and they say, yeah. So then there's a mitzvah saseh, a shavas aveda, to announce, depending on what the shul policy is, that whoever has headlights on, you know, they always go to chasinas, the people with the license plate ABC, your headlights are on. That's a mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh. If you don't do it, it's an aveda. It's, you know, a mitzvah saseh is like not putting one's fill in, and a lo saseh is like eating treif. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan said that these are it's a mitzvah saseh and a lo saseh to protect someone's property. Okay, so that's the first example. This yisod is used very much. It's really have to know where to draw the line. You have a couple interesting cases here. The Shar Asher brings halach from the Chuvas HaRosh. It's from the Rishonim that says, and this almost happens very often. It just happened today to me. Suppose someone tells you, you know, everyone always has these things that happen to them in business dealings. You know, they buy different items and they have bump into someone's property, car, and they tell you what happened, and he asked me to pay him. And he's telling you what he did, and you know the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay the other person. Like, he's telling you, you know what happened to you, Reuven, and I got in a little argument, and you know, Baruch Hashem, he accepted $500 from me, and I got away cheap. And you know he didn't have to pay a penny. So the Shara Asher brings from the Rush that you always have an obligation as Hashavas Aveda to tell him that you don't owe him a penny. Right, that's another mitzvah saseh. So now, it's very dangerous because the Shara Asher has like a stack like this of like 10 different Mara Makomas. There's a rule, there's a Mishnah, and you know, pardon me, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be Ka'arche HaDayanim. You're not allowed to be a lawyer. Right, that's what the that's what the Mishnah loosely translated means. Well, what's it mean? It means that if it's okay.
We're not leaving.
There are many times I do. It says that if Reuven is having problems with Shimon, let Reuven and Shimon work it out themselves in front of Dayanim. Don't get involved with the Din Torah and help out Reuven find some way of winning the case. The Dayanim are very qualified. They can find out what the story is from Reuven and Shimon themselves. They'll save themselves the lawyer's fees, and the Dayanim will find out the halacha. Don't be a lawyer. Don't try to help Reuven win his case. That's a Mishnah. How can you be a lawyer? So, I think this will be a hetzer right here. So, but anyway, that's what they ask on the Rush. How can the Rush say that if you hear them telling you, oh yeah, I paid $500 and I got away cheap, or Hashem, you say, you don't have to pay him a penny. And you have a mitzvah saseh to tell him. If you don't, you're over saseh and a low saseh. What do you mean? What happened to being Ka'arche HaDayanim? So I looked at some of these tshuvas. They're very interesting. I have one printed down a little bit from the Neil Tzedakah. He says, and this is where this might be a hetzer to be a lawyer. He says, what's the issue to be Ka'arche HaDayanim? That's to teach Reuven how to trick, how to say words in a way that could be taken two ways, or even to outright lie and say, oh, just tell them that it was like this and you'll win the case. That's what you're not allowed to do. And
being a lawyer. Yeah.
But that's not a, you know, that's not a lawyer. That's what Swinley does. But to be a lawyer, to help a person, just tell him. You know, he's an honest guy. He's a friend of yours. He's someone that that you know for many years, and he's an honest person. By you telling him this is, but he's not going to start lying and cheating. You're just trying to get what he actually deserves. So that's a mitzvah saseh and a lo saseh. So just, you know, yes, Yom Shah's about lawyers, but you know, if you're a lawyer and you're helping someone that he's really losing, people are taking advantage of him. And by you helping him get his record straight and tell him what the laws are, and you show him how he's not, doesn't really have to pay that other person something, so you're doing a mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh. The iser in Pirkei Avos is to train him, to advise him in ways of a trickery and changing the halacha. That's where there's an iser. It's a very chamer iser, and that's the way that the Mil Tzedakah makes a chilek. But the different shuls can say different ways. I think this is an interesting way of looking at it, and he points out that if you look through all, you look through the Tshuva Svarim, there are many cases where someone asked some sofer, as an interview, asked them a case and in Choshen Mishra, he says, look, this is what happened, and, you know, I don't know what to do, what should I do? So, of course, they'll say, you know, I didn't have to hear the other side, but based on what you said, this is what the halacha is. And they say, a precedent is from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Noslacha came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, what should we do? You know, we're losing our Nachla. It's not fair that our father died. It's not his father. And we don't have any Nachla. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, I'm going to find out the Halacha. He didn't say, well, let me hear what your uncle say. Right? So there's a precedent that even if something's a Choshe Mishpa, which normally we say, you don't listen to it until both sides are in front of you. But if someone that you trust and someone that you know is honest and you're just trying, he's trying, just thinking he would ask an Arachayim Shaila, a Yoredeya Shaila, he's asking a Choshe Mishpa Shaila, what should he do in such a case? So you have the right to advise him. And if he's going to spend money where he's not obligated to, so you have a mitzvah saseh of Hashem Zaveda to prevent him from losing money for nothing. I mean, if he's going to do it, it's going to be a shalom, and it'll be a famous resident. You don't have to stop him from doing that. At least you could tell him, look, you know, you're not obligated to, but if you do it, it's a great thing. It's, you know, it's a famous resident. But just let him know what the truth is. And if you don't, the point of the Shuvah Sarash, quoted by the Sharash, who says the Torah also brings it, there's a Hashem HaZaveda value in that. One last case, which I think they misquoted. The Mishmar HaZaveda brings from the Tashvei Tzpat, he says a lot like this: if you know that Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon forgot that Reuven owes him the money, you remember they were in shul one day, and Shimon asked—I forgot the names already. Reuven asked Shimon, "Can I have $20? I need a cab," and he gave it to him. And you know that Shimon always forgets things. You have a mitzvah saseh of Hashem HaZaveda to tell Shimon, "Did you ever get the money back from Reuven? You lent him $20." And they bring a right from this Tashbeis, and you listen to the lesson. In hu yodeya sheshochach echon mibali chovav, if someone knows that one of his creditors forgot to claim money from, I think, him, harehu muzer basei velosa sei laharosam, you have a mitzvah saseh and losa sei to let him know. Basei dosh tishivim velosa sei losuchu lesali. So they're taking it that you know that he forgot one of his others, someone from the outside. I think the lesson could just well be that if you know that you borrowed money from someone and he'd never claimed it from you, so you, first of all, you have a mitzvah, so say, of Kriyas Bafa Mitzvah. We'll talk about that, if it's a payback loan. But in addition, since he doesn't realize he lost it, he doesn't realize that he can claim it, it's like an aveda to him, and by giving him the money, you're also fulfilling Hashem HaZaveda. And they say that extends also, even if you tell them, snitch on someone else and say that person owes you, you've also done Hashem HaZaveda. So those are three examples of how Hashem HaZaveda applies not only to you found someone's object outside of his possession and you give it back to him, but he has the object in his possession, but you're saving him from paying extra money in a din Torah. You're saving him from from paying an extra bill at the end of the month, from his lights being on too long, or you're saving him from, here it's like, there it's like Hashem HaZaveda, the case Allah, there it's also you're getting him his income that otherwise he would have forgotten. Those are cases where Hashem HaZaveda applies. Okay, the next part of the Shira, we're going to talk about a Gemara that seems to contradict this completely. And we'll have to see what the difference is. Gemara Nedarim, right, there's a concept of a neder where I say that I'm making a neder that Reuven cannot have any benefit from me. All my property should be like hektish to Reuven. I don't want Reuven to have any benefit from me or my property. That's a neder. Now, Hamudra Anam Echaveiruf, I did that to someone, and that person got sick. Right, the person that I said I don't want to have any benefit from me, he got sick. Benitlan Slavaka, and I went to visit him. Oh, mate, I should stand. I will let Yosef. I don't sit. Merapa Rufuas Nefesh. This is what we're going to talk about. I can cure him, even though I said I don't want him to have any benefit from me. I can heal him, a Rufuas Nefesh, but not Rufuas Mamet. I could heal him his nefesh, but not his mamet. What's the meaning that I could heal his nefesh, his soul, but not his mamet, not his money? So the Gemara says, I can heal his body. I can heal him in his body, but I cannot heal his animal. Right? His body, to help him, I can heal him, even though he's not allowed to have any benefit from me, but I'm allowed to heal his body. We'll see why soon. But I'm not allowed to heal his animal, because then he's getting benefit from me. And I said, I made an error. He's not allowed to get any benefit from me. I'm saving his animal, so that is something that he's benefiting from me. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Now, what's the difference between, if I said that he's not allowed to have any benefit from me, what's the difference if he gets benefit from me when I cure him and when I cure his animal? So it's the Machlokes Rishonim. The Ran there on the spot says, Lo Yirape Behemto, you're not allowed to cure his animal. Really, you could cure his animal also. Why does it say you can't cure his animal? Because it's talking, or there's another doctor there. If there's another veterinarian there, there's another vet there, so that other vet cure the animal, you don't have to heal the animal. The E-Lo, because if there is no other vet there, and you can help the animal, and no one else can, then Shari Lerafoso, then you're permitted to heal him. Why? Because we have a mission that says Machzuloa, but also, if you said that you tell someone, I don't want Reuven, I don't want you to have any benefit from me, and then you find Reuven's coat outside in the street, you're allowed to return it to him. Why? Because you're not doing it to benefit Reuven, you're doing it because there's a mitzvah to save you. You're doing it because of the mitzvah.
Is that
you're not returning the coat to help out Reuven, you're doing it because you have a mitzvah. So same thing he's saying, if his animal is going to die, and you can cure it, and there's no one else here to cure it, so you have a mitzvah to cure it, to save him from money. So you're not doing it to help him out. He's not getting benefit from you. You're doing it because there's a mitzvah. When the Mishnah says you're not allowed to cure his animal, he's not allowed to get the benefit from you, that's because there's someone else that could cure the animal. And since there's someone else that could cure the animal, you don't have a mitzvah anymore to cure it. And if you're doing it, you're just doing it as a favor, and then he's having benefit from you.
Yeah, would it be true to say it's not that the mitzvah overrides the neder, but that the neder doesn't exist
That's what we're saying, you're not violating the neder. You're not violating the neder because the neder said I'm not allowed to give benefit to you. I'm not giving benefit to you actually, this is because I have a mitzvah between me and Hashem. Yeah. Hashem says I have to listen to him and I have to return this to you. So that's what the Ran says. The Ran says that when the Mishnah says you can't cure his animal, you could if there was no one else around, because that's a Shavas Aveda. Like we're saying, a Shavas Aveda applies to prevent someone a monetary loss. The Mishnah says you can't because there's another vet there. Are you going to ask me, so then why does the Mishnah say you're allowed to cure him? Because if the case of the animal is talking where there's another vet around, the case where he's sick must be there's another doctor around. So if there's another doctor around, why you're allowed to cure him? Let the other doctor cure him, and it's not your mitzvah anymore. So that the Ran says, if there's another doctor around, you still can do it. Why? Still you can cure him when it applies to his own body. Why? You might do a better job of healing him than another. To heal a person doesn't only involve giving him the right medicine. Sometimes it involves the right person administrating the medicine or doing that therapy. So there might be a lot of doctors here, but you might be the only one that will be successful in healing him. So you have a mitzvah to heal him, and even if there are other doctors around, But the sefer we're talking about, the animal, if it's his animal, then there's no difference. Just, you know, an animal's an animal. It doesn't matter who gives the medicine to the animal, as long as or who puts the splint on the animal, whatever doctor, whatever vet does, it'll be the same. So if there's another vet there, you're not allowed to do it because you're doing it to benefit him, and you're not allowed to. There's a neder that he's not allowed to benefit from you. If there is no other doctor, then you're doing it because the mitzvah haseya v'shavas aveda, and like we learned until now, and therefore you will be allowed to do it, and obligated to do it. That's the way the Ran understands the Gemara. Tosus and the Rosh disagree. They say it's dolcher, they didn't say, but it's dolcher. They were talking, there's another doctor. They don't say anything about another doctor, another vet. They say that to cure a person, there is a mitzvah to help a person cure him, and therefore the Mishnah says, even though you made a neder, he can't have any hanah from you, but to cure him, you have an obligation to do it, and you must, even though there's a neder. I, his animal, why don't we say there's a mitzvah to help him avoid a monetary loss to as a shavas aveda? So Tosus and the Rosh say there's no lo havikom master aveda also the mitzvah lo shelo aveda also. There's a mitzvah to return someone's aveda. Ava einu mitzuba lerapi lo behemta, but or einu mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to cure someone's animal. Right? Tosus and the Rosh say there's no mitzvah to cure someone's animal. Rav Yeager in Hashavas Aveda brings this machlokas. He says the Ran, the Rashba, the Rosh in the Sakim, the Rosh Isaac was on the side. They all say there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to cure someone's animal. Ein lecha Hashava gedola mizuv. There's no great Hashavas Aveda than helping someone's sick animal get well. The Rosh and Tosfos, the Yerushalayim says is quoting Tosfos, hold lo kasuk, and they didn't write that. There's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda over there. In Yerideya, in the halachas of Nedarim, there also the Gilyan Rosh Shlomo Eger compares these halachas to each other. He has a kasha that according to just something that we should think about, according to the Ran made this chiluk. The Ran said that to cure an animal is okay if there's no one else around. If there's someone else around, then why should you do it? Let someone else do it. So he asks, so why don't we say that by Hashavas Aveda? You never see in real Hashavas Aveda. You see someone's coat out in the street. Well, I'm not obligated to return it because someone else is over there to return it. Right? You say, look, everyone's obligated, and you can't say, well, he'll take care of it, and you have to take care of it. Right? Why is there a difference over here in saving the money and over there? So he says that it's only by refuah where the owner knows that his animal is sick. So there, then the owners are there, so then we can say the owner will have someone else do it. Why are you doing it? But if an aveda where he doesn't know where it is, then everyone is obligated to do it. And that's just parenthetical. But anyway, we have this machlokas, the Ran and Tosfos. Is there a mitzvah saseh to a hashavas aveda to cure someone's animal? Now that seems very schwer because the whole shiur we said until now, we have the whole thing about Vedas Karka, there's a mitzvah saseh, there's a mitzvah saseh to save the sheaves from the bundles of grain from getting ruined. Why should there be no mitzvah saseh to help someone's sick animal get better? Like, why should there be no, how can you say there's no mitzvah saseh of a shavas aveda? That's a kasha, the obvious kasha. What do they do with this Gemara? I just saw contemporaries speak about it. This Shuvah from the Mokhan Arah and Mishmar Aveda give us a similar teretz. They say like this, and this is what someone said in the beginning. There's a difference between curing an animal and saving someone's field from getting ruined, and you know, turning off someone's headlights if he's wasting electricity and will ruin his battery. There's a difference. And the difference is, if someone's animal, give an example, forget an animal. Suppose someone's car broke down. Right, the car broke down. It needs a new water pump. Do you have a mitzvah saseh to put in a new water pump in that person's car? You have water pumps, you're a mechanic, you work for a mechanic, and you have to pay you. But it's something that you know how to do. He has a flat tire, and you know how to fix flat tires. Do you have a mitzvah saseh to fix this flat tire? Or in your case, if someone has a leaky roof, do you have a mitzvah saseh to go and fix someone's leaky roof? So they say, of course not. Hashavas Aveda is, if someone has property that's either lost and it's completely out of his domain, So you have an obligation to return it to his domain. If someone has leaky his water, the faucet's on the running water, and if it stays on, it's going to flood his basement. Something's going to happen to cause him a loss. So that's what we learned tonight. You have an obligation to prevent him from having that loss, right? Hashavas Veid is not only physically returning his object into his domain, but it's also protecting him from a monetary loss. But if his tire is flat already, he's not having any loss now. He already had the loss, right? You have an obligation to take the glass away in front of his tire so when he drives, he won't run over it and get a flat tire, because you're preventing a loss then. Instead of him driving and getting a flat, by you taking the glass away, he won't get that flat now. But once he already has a flat, his tire is now dead and he has to get it fixed. You have no obligation to fix it. He's not going to suffer any loss of money. He suffered it already.
It could be a case where it's not true. Huh? It could be a case where he's trying to get to an appointment. He waits for AAA to come or somebody else to help him. And he's going to miss it. He's going to miss a chance to leave.
Okay, so that could be a chesed to help him out. I mean, that's also, we'll see. That's not a loss. That he might not. We'll see. We'll say in a second. But that might be a chesed. But Hashavas Aveid, the Mitzvah Saseh and Lo Saseh, I think they're saying very well, does not apply if something's broken that you have an obligation to fix it. It's broken already. And they say if that's the case, we could say the case of the sick animal, there's two types of sicknesses. It could be, it's a sickness that has an infection. If you don't give it antibiotic, it's going to die. So that, it could be everyone agreed, there's a Mitzvah Hashavas Aveid. The Tosus and the Rosh might be talking about something that is sick and has a broken leg and it's not going to get any worse, it just can't walk so well. Right now, the animal is worth less money because it has this broken leg. That they're saying there's no obligation for you to fix its leg so it could walk better, because it's not going to get any worse. It's just right now it's hobbled because it's crippled because of its broken leg, and it's not going to get any worse. It'll just notice to walk on three legs instead of four, and it's worth less money now to the owner. You don't have any obligation to give the owner any extra value to his money. You just have to prevent him from losing money. Right? That's the way they understand what the Tosfos was saying. Now, it could be the Ran is talking only, they're arguing about something, and the Ran is saying even then there might be some mitzvah to do it, or the Ran's only talking in a case where it's going to get worse, and you have to prevent it from getting worse.
If you have an ox, it's the only ox the guy's got, you've got a field, it's ready to plow.
So that's a different issue. It's not causing him a loss. Right now he has a certain amount of value to his in his name. Right? Now this is the next step. And that's what they're saying. The next step will be, are you obligated to help someone make a profit? Right? We've learned tonight that we've proved that there's an obligation to prevent him from suffering a loss. But to guarantee that he should have a profit, he's not going to have any loss, but to make that he should have a profit, that you have an obligation as Hashavas Aveid. Hashavas Aveid means prevent him from having a loss. That he should have a profit, that he fixed his tire so he could go and sell that house over there to the other person before the other broker gets there. He might not make that profit. You don't have any obligation. You might do a chesed. We're not saying it's not a chesed, but there's no Hashavas Aveid. Hashavas Aveid means he has a loss. He's suffering a loss, or he lost his article. To allow him to make a profit, that you have no obligation of Hashavas Aveid. That's what we see from the Tosfos and the Rosh, the way they're saying it. Even though we learned that Hashavas Aveid means prevent someone from having a monetary loss, if they already suffered the loss, you have no obligation to help him regain his lost property that loss that he has. He has it in his possession, it's not lost. You have no obligation to fix it for him, and you have no obligation to help him make a profit. So getting to the diamond case, he wants to say, this person, Reuven, who came with the diamond, and he wants to sell for $100, which is the going rate for such diamonds. You, with your expertise, have a way of cutting it in a way to make it worth a lot more money. So this Machon Harah says, based on this Tosfos and the Rosh, your obligation of Hashavas Aveid does not obligate you to help this person maximize his profit. If he's going to sell it too cheaply, expensive, then you have a problem about Na'ah. Or he bought it and he's reselling it at a loss, maybe then you have some sort of, someone cheated him, so then we have like the Shah Rosh said, you should try to help him recover what the person cheated him from. But over here, he's not losing anything. He paid $50 for it. He found it in the sand. But he's not suffering any loss. It's just that he can make a bigger profit if he only knew this piece of information that you knew, that you know. So that they're saying you have no obligation to tell him. He concludes, of course, it's a mitzvah ha-yashav ha-tov. It's certainly be a nice thing to do, and you know, you bring shalom in the world, and you know, maybe I'll give you a little bit of a kickback. But you know, there's nothing wrong with telling him. But to say that there's an obligation of hashavas aveda, we've learned tonight that hashavas aveda applies not only to returning an object that's physically out of his domain, but to prevent him from having a monetary loss. But that only means that prevent him from losing more money than he's lost already, or more money that preventing from losing money that he's not lost yet. But if he's already lost that money, you're not obligated to fix it so that he should be back to where he was, and you're also not obligated to allow him to maximize his profit as long as there's no loss involved. That's the conclusion of this Machon Haroch. So the car and the light. So there we said there's a mitzvah to tell someone that his light's on. If you don't tell him, so then it's like any aveda, where we said if you found someone's aveda, someone's coat is in the street, and you were lazy, you didn't return it to him, in a place where you were obligated to return it, and you didn't, so you're not chayiv al pi dinei adam, because you never became a shomer aveda. You were violated on nasei and elos nasei, so you're not chayiv pi dinei adam. We saw from the Ramban a long time ago that it might be dinei grama. Maybe there's a chiyuv dinei shamayim to pay him, but if you dinei adam, you're not chayiv to pay him.
What about the diamond?